like the Lord. Amen. Give the Lord another praise offering. Amen. We're just thankful that we can enter into this house with thanksgiving and give the Lord honor and glory. And we want to say happy Labor Day. It sounds like an unusual statement, but we're grateful again that we can come together to praise His holy name. I want to start a new series in here in our church, one that I believe we'll benefit from. But first of all, before we go further, we want to recognize someone who is going to be kind of transitioning from our area, but not really. But Ms. Loretta Knight has served as our assistant treasurer of the church, and she's going to be stepping down from that role, but she'll still be involved. I just want us to salute her today and to give her thanks for the many, many blessings that she has provided to our church. Amen. Amen. She's going to be moving up closer to her son in Maryland, so we pray for her that the Lord will be with her, but she'll be coming back. We got a rope tied to her, so we'll bring on back. Amen. Amen. But I want to invite your attention to the Gospel of St. John as we begin our message today. And I'm going to take a short survey of where you are and where you think you are in your life, the way that you live, the way that you conduct yourself. I want to take a little survey on that in just a minute. But John chapter 16, give you a little context of where this verse is from. Jesus is getting ready to leave his disciples. The next step will be the cross, where he sacrifices his life. This is better known as the upper room discourse, where Jesus is talking to his disciples, warning them of things that will be happening within the next hours, and he's preparing them. Knowing that the cross is next, here's the word that Jesus said. "Do you now believe?" he replied. "A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me alone, and yet I'm not alone, for my Father is with me. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." God bless you. You may be seated. I want to share with you the thought, what it takes to win in life. What it takes to win in life. Give you that little survey in just a minute, but this is part of a series that I call The Winning Way. The Winning Way. Football season is now officially started. Do you think the teams get on the field, even if they're playing a ranked team within their region or even within the nation, do you think that they say to themselves, "Man, we're losers"? What about Christians? How would you describe your life? Would you say that you're losing? Weighing in on the circumstances and things that are happening in your life? Are you losing? Some would say, "No, I'm hanging in there." And that's good for a Tarzan movie. But that's not good for living. How would you rate your life right now? Every one of us in this room have had some losses. You've dealt with some situations, some trials. Some have gotten to the point where now you're weary. You feel the weight of those things on your life having an impact Remember, you're human. You're in a body. It's going to get weighed down. You're going to have struggles. And Jesus was saying to them in this verse, you in this world, you're going to have trouble. It's going to happen. Just because you state your faith in Christ doesn't mean that the struggle is not going to be there in your life. So you've got to make sure that you're anchored in something, so that when these things happen, you know how to not only survive or hang in there, but you get to the place where you're actually winning. Let me see the hands of everybody that you'd like to win in life. Had enough losses, had enough embarrassing situations, had enough failure. Every one of us can say, yeah, I can check that off. But I want to learn how to win. Now, why is that important? Why is that important to you as a Christian? If you are not careful how you live your life, you'll start setting a pattern. Yeah, I know the Bible is true, but things just haven't worked out for me. That's not the way that God expects you to live your life. Here is Jesus getting ready to face one of the most crucial moments of his life. And you know what he says? I've conquered. I have overcome the world. That's winning. That's winning. Just because you're going through some struggle or trial does not mean that you've failed. Here's the good news. Even when you mess up, God is a God of love, and he knows that you need his forgiveness, but you got to come to him. Why does he offer forgiveness? So you can do the same thing over again? No, so that you can win. Everybody say win. Win. Now you root for your favorite team. You know, UVA got on the field yesterday. They didn't win, but the fact that they got on the field, they were winners. They overcame some tragedy and they stood. If you're going to win in life, you got to stand. Yeah, let's applaud it. Let's applaud it. Then there's another category. I don't know. You winning, losing, hanging in there? I don't know. If possible, the devil will have you so confused that you won't know your right from the left. But when you are anchored in Christ, when you have the confidence that God is walking with you, you can become a winner. So let's look at this. Let's look at this. Let's break it down. Let's kind of look at some things today and what it takes to win in life. Jesus said in John, I came that you might have life and that you would have it more abundantly. We call that the overflowing life. He got to talking to a woman at the well. And Jesus said, I want some natural water, but I'm going to give you some water. If you allow me, I'll give you some water that will spring up into everlasting life. I'm going to give you that water. And the woman said, you don't have a bucket. You don't have anything to draw from. How are you going to get this water? And Jesus was referring to the word that he would give. Ladies and gentlemen, once the word has been poured into our lives, the Holy Spirit brings it to life. Amen. And that life begins to flow out of you, flow through you, so that you can be on the winning side of life. Amen. All right, so here's Jesus. People might say, well, did Jesus win? Some skeptics would look at it and say, well, man, he went to the cross the next day. He died and they put him in a tomb. But a tomb does not seal your destiny. The grave does not bury you. If you have lived for God, there's this thing called the resurrection. Let me talk to somebody. You did not get buried in your last situation. And even if you did, God can raise you from it. He can lift you up. He can make your life stronger if you allow Him to come in and bless you. But now, if you're going around thinking, well, I'm just a loser. I'm just no good. I'm never going to get out of this. Then you've sealed your own fate, because it starts off by Jesus asking the question, do you now believe? What are you going to believe about yourself? You say you believe in God. What do you believe in God's going to do in you? Well, I don't know if the Lord can handle me. Let me get this straight. He hung all the planets in orbit. Got millions of galaxies that He keeps in place every day, and He can't handle you. God makes the sun shine, and He can't handle your situation. God, who allows by His miraculous power the seasons to take place, spring and summer and fall and winter, but He can't handle you. Let's assess who you think you are. They said in Sunday school today, and I think Eddie said it, hopefully I won't get it wrong. He said, if I could buy you for what you really are and sell you for what you think you are, I can make a profit. Y'all got to write that one down. I almost had to write it down. I'm going to buy you for what you really are and then sell you for what you think you are. How do you win in life? People have gotten back and they've said, here's what it takes to win. An athlete, you see them out on the field, they have to go through certain strategies. They have to develop certain things. But then they have this thing called a coach on the sidelines. Because the coach sees things that they don't see. They're on the field or they're on the court or whatever they're doing, and the coach can say, hey, come over here. You're doing this wrong. And they help them to win. When you got saved, when you gave your life to the Lord, God Almighty assigned you a coach. You're in Christ. You're on the team now. You're joined up with Jesus. God Almighty assigned you a coach, and it's called the Holy Spirit. What is He going to do? He's going to guide you into all truth. He's going to teach you of things to come, show you where you need to walk in this thing, and He'll guide you by His grace. Isn't that pretty good? Yeah. Before Jesus left, He said, I'm not going to leave you all down here like a bunch of orphans. No, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to give you another comforter. I'm going to give you what they call in the Greek, the paraclete, somebody to walk right there beside you. So how do you win in life? You got to listen to your coach. If he tells you run left, you get out on the field and you run right and you get tackled, it's not the coach's fault. It's your fault. Where did I go wrong? You ran wrong. It's that way with a lot of people today. They think it's impossible to live the Christian life. They think it's impossible for you to do what the Bible says. In your own strength, it is impossible. But with the coach, with him urging you on and giving you power, you can win. And more than win, I'm going to get into that one on our later Sundays. He says you are more than conquerors. Which means if there was a number one team, you would be on the other side of number one, and I don't know what that number is, but all I can tell you, when you join up with God, you're a winner. I used to love to see Muhammad Ali when he would win a fight. He'd lift those fists up in the air like, man, I'm the greatest. And he would say, I'm the greatest. He'd look down at his opponent. Do you know that? I'm the greatest. What if you could knock the devil out and say, I told you I was the greatest? What if you could hit your sin in the head and tell, I told you, you didn't have power over me? Wouldn't that be nice? And it is true. I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. So how do you do that, preacher? All right, let's look at some things called the winning attitude. It starts here. Point to your head. Some of y'all don't want, you got your hair do. I know. Some of you guys, you got your head bald. That's fine. You can tap your head, okay? You've got to have what's known as a winning attitude. And that winning attitude starts with a goal in mind. If your goal in life is to be happy, you're going to have some problems. If that's your goal, I just want to be happy. Colossians, in a brief word, says, whatever you do, word, deed, thought, do all to the glory of God. If that's your number one goal in life, a lot of young people say, man, I just want to get out there and make some money. You're going to have some real problems. Nothing wrong with having money. But when you make it your goal, the problem with a lot of people and not winning is that they've got the wrong goal. You had this guy back in 19 whatever, they call him the wrong way. They're playing for the national championship, Reverend Ray. And he got the ball, got confused, and ran to the opposite end of the field rather than his own field. And guess what? He hung his head down. But the coach came and talked to him. It was just one game. Some of you got your head hung down because you messed up in one game. Maybe last week. Didn't mean to do it, but you cussed somebody out like a dog. And then you realized what you were doing. I'm sorry. I'm just being real up here, you know. Some of y'all Christians, you're too sanctified. You don't let it out your mouth, but it goes through your head. You say, I didn't say it, preacher. But I thought about it. As a man thinketh in his heart. Everybody say winning attitude. So you've got to know what the goal is. The goal is to please and honor God. When that's your goal in life, the Lord will add any other thing that you need to make your life vital. God will give it to you. You need joy? He puts the joy there. Need peace? He gives you peace. Why? Because you got your mind on the glory of God. Winning attitude. The other thing about this, winners, if you're going to win, it takes time and effort. How many of y'all have been at this Christian life for about, let's say, 20 years? How many? Let me see the 20-year veterans. Veterans, all right. Yeah. How many of y'all been at it 30 years? 40 years? I'm going to take my hand down, 50. I haven't got to. Have I been saved that long, Jesse? Maybe about. Yeah, I have, because I married her and I got saved. How about that? Amen. Paul, in his writing to Philippi, He said, not that I have met my goal, but I press toward the mark for the high calling of God, which is in Christ. I'm pressing forward. It's a time effort. Every day I'm getting out and I'm pressing forward. They had a national meet last week, and some of the fastest runners in the world got out on the track. And they had some guys, from Nigeria and Ethiopia. Man, I ran this 10 miler in Lynchburg. I thought I was running, but I was just there to make the other guys look good. Brother Hurd, I was there to call. While I'm running this way, they're running. They've already run there, and they're headed back. But they had these runners from Ethiopia, Nigeria. I mean, they were out in front. Here comes this gentleman from Norway. He pressed. He said to himself, I want to win. And guess what? He won. The race is not given to the swift, nor is the battle given to the strong, but those who hold out until the end. Coming out of the gate, he did not get in front. When they reached the middle part of the course, he was not in front. But somewhere deep down on the inside, he said to himself, I got to run now. Christian, it is your time to run now. That's a winning attitude. Get your goals straight. Know that you got to put time in it. But then thirdly, you got to be developed. You got to be developed. An injured athlete, all the trophies that he's got on his wall, it's not going to help if he's recovering from an injury. Here's the thing that happens in a lot of churches. People get hurt and they give up. Do you need recovery? Yes, you do. Should you give up? No. Why? Because Jesus didn't give up. He kept running. Well, so-and-so said this about me, and I ain't gonna run no more. And remember, your number one goal was to run for God. Were you running because of that person? And them saying something made you stop? No, devil, I ain't falling for that lie. I rebuke that one in the name of Jesus. Amen? Because when I think about the man who died for me, when I think about the Savior who loves me, when I think about him, and I think about the Holy Spirit coaching me, come on, you got it. Come on, you can do it. Come on, keep running. Look at somebody, tell him, keep running, keep running. God didn't bring you this far to leave you now. Anybody learning something? Jesus said in that verse, the same chapter, chapter 16, verse 13, he says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. What is he doing? He's building you up, making you strong, getting you to the place where you can run for the glory of God. How many of y'all want to be a winner? Now, let me just go into this verse a little bit, then we're going to, I know it's Labor Day weekend, you've got some stuff you want to do, and I don't want to hold you from that, but I do want to give you God's word. Now, I'm going to tell you something now. I used to drink. Holidays, rough time for folks that used to drink. I'm just being real. Yeah, that ABC store, they're going to keep calling your name. They got it open on Sundays now. Back when I was carrying on, Beckett Ahab, I said, well, Sunday I get a little bit of relief. Now, 7 days a week, the devil hitting me. I'm telling you, come on down. Y'all get tired of me preaching after a while, aren't you? If you're going to win against your addictions and your habits, you cannot give them a break. You've got to keep fighting. One of the things you read about Israel, as you go through the Old Testament, you wonder why God gave you that lesson from the Old Testament, is because they had to fight all the time. And the very time they were not prepared to fight was the time that they fell. You got to put on the whole armor of God. And you got to fight all the time. You got to fight against the things that you used to have as weaknesses. You got to fight against new enemies that might come your way. I notice now in my life, this stage that I'm in, and my wife, I start off, before I got married to her, I was a very slow driver, slow. Slow driver, I took my time. After I got married to her, she said, "You got to speed up. We're going to be late." So I speeded up. You know, thing says 60, you go 65. They ain't going to say nothing. Ain't nobody going to catch me. Now I notice that when I drive, I'm aggressive. Start off slow. Now I'm aggressive because I had a coach. She coached me. Speed up. Giddy up. What am I saying? People influence your life, don't they? All right, let me hurry up and give you some things here. What was Jesus saying to his disciples that night before he would go to the cross on the next day? What was he saying? What was he telling them about a winning attitude? What was Jesus speaking into them? Well, he closed his argument with, "Take heart. Be of good cheer," as the King James says. "I have overcome the world." Not will overcome. In other words, the things that's going to happen tomorrow, that's not going to change the fact that I overcame. As a matter of fact, that's just going to be a stepping stone. When you get to the place in life where you're strong enough in Christ, where your problems become a platform to you to get to the next level, you know that you're a real champion. And you got to look at it that way. Because whenever you see the enemy bigger than you, you're always going to lose. But now watch this. When you get to the place where you see God on your side, no enemy, no weapon formed against you will be able to prosper. Because God Almighty is in the battle with you. God Almighty is helping you to get the victory. That's what Jesus was saying to his disciple. And I want you to understand a couple things here. Number one, God's plan will never fail. Does he have a plan for your life? Yes. What plan is that? That plan is for you to be in Christ. If anyone be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. And you're more than a conqueror through him that loved you. That's what the Bible says. Jesus was saying, "I got a plan for you." And the plan is for not you to just scatter and then not be brought back together. He was going to bring them back together. How? Through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Verse 32, he said, "A time is coming, and in fact has now come, when you will be scattered, and each you're going to go to your own home, but I'm going to get you back together. You're going to hear about my resurrection. I'm going to get you back together." You know, a fire can really bring folks together. You know that? Fire. Told a story about this evangelist went to a town, and when he got in town, nobody from the church that they were going to preach at told him the service had been canceled. He said, "What in the world am I going to do? I came to town to preach. Service been canceled. Now I got to go all the way back home. I'm not ready to go home." So what the person did, got out on the corner and said, "Fire!" People looked around, where? Kept saying, "Fire!" A couple more folks gathered around. "Where's the fire?" They were at a nearby hotel, people coming out in sheets. "Fire!"
Where's the fire? He said, Holy Ghost fire. Down in my soul, you need to hear the word of God. God will bring us together. He has a winning plan for your life. God did not bring you to this planet as an accident. God brought you here for a purpose. He will not allow anything to happen to you unless it was a part of his plan. You got to believe that today. When you believe that all things work together for good to them that love God, you're saying, God, I believe your plan. A lot of times you're not going to understand it. Sometimes the plan is going to bring tears down your eyes. But you're saying, God, I trust you. Here was Jesus in his life at a moment where people would be breaking apart. If you knew what tomorrow hell was holding for you, you'd say to yourself, I don't know how I'm going to do it. You're going to do it because it's a part of God's plan. Second thing about it, you're going to be on the winning team. You're going to win with God. You got to know that his presence is always with you. Jesus said it right here in this verse. He said, I'm not alone. It's a difference between being lonely and being alone. Times in your life, you're going to be lonely. Folks ain't around. But guess who's always around? Jesus made an irrevocable promise in Matthew 28 and 20. As that verse closes, we love to say, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and baptize. But read the end of the chapter. It says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end. Even after that happens, I'm still going to be with you. And a lot of times when you go through life, you say, Lord, you're still with me. I'm right there. Lord, where are you at? I'm driving. Lord, what you doing? I'm carrying you. Lord, how are you working out? I'm making a way out of no way. Ladies and gentlemen, that's God. He didn't bring you to this place in time for you to say, let me throw in the towel. Let me just give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. You're winning. How am I winning? Jesus is with you. Clap your hands, all you people. What else, preacher? The Holy Spirit's going to prepare you. Some of those things that have happened in your life is to get you to the now. The rough stuff that you had to deal with is to get you to right now. You say, but I'm on my knees. That's the best place you can be. I got sickness in my body. God can touch your body and heal your mind and soul, but you're in a good place because you're right where God wants you. It's in his plan. Everything that has happened in my life, God has prepared me. I keep telling myself I'm old, and God says, why are you still counting? You know, when you turn 70, stuff begin to happen. I can't leap over buildings. Never could, but I thought I could. But thanks be to God that he has prepared us for where we are right now. You get a picture of God working on something. James Weldon Johnson in his epic poem, Creation. I love the way he describes it, even though the Bible doesn't say it, but it doesn't say he didn't have it that way. He said he stooped over and he got him some clay and molded man out of the clay. And then he breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Here's what I see in my mind. Here's God singing, because the Bible does say he sings over. You know, he sings over us. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved this wretch. And God works on it. Then he breathes. And the next thing you know, some of you, God is still working on you. The devil may think he's got you, but God's already got you in his hand. Oh, come here, Mahalia. He's got the whole world in his hands, and he's going to breathe on you and allow you to see his grace at work in your life. Give the Lord a hand clap today. Now, I want to ask a question. Don't just do it because somebody else does it. Based on the faith that you have now received from this message, how many of you think you're a loser? All right, that's pretty good. How many of y'all don't know? And be honest, you know, don't know. How many of you think that you're a winner because of Christ? Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. Give him glory. Because the very next day, Jesus sealed you as a winner. He went to the cross, bore your sin, got rid of your heavy load, allowed you to have eternal life through him. But then that's not how the story ends. That's not how it ends. They put him in the grave. The devil thought he had him. But Jesus was a winner. And because he was a winner, on that third day morning, Jesus got up from the grave with all power in his hand. Can I get a witness here? When you conquer death, you don't have anything else to worry about. I'm done. I'm finished. Neither height nor depth, nor things present, nor things to come. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. And because of that, I'm going to run on and see what the end's going to bring, because I know it's victory. I love that. I love to be a coach. I'm Jesus' assistant coach. But while you're standing, I just want to pray for you that God would make you victorious. Doesn't mean life's going to get easier. Doesn't mean that you're not going to have some headaches and heartaches. But it does mean greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Nothing shall be able to separate us from God's love. I'm going to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for loving us. I thank you for completing us. I thank you for the work that you're doing in our life right now. And Lord knows, God, we cannot claim the credit. You had to work on us. So many times we turned our back on you. So many times we failed you. But you never once failed us. Thank you for being God. And right now, God, we want to be on the winning team. We want to be with you, Lord, to walk in victory. Not just to boast about what we're doing, but to see how much you can do in our lives. Oh, it is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do the same for you. Work, Holy Ghost. Work, Holy Spirit. Move in our lives. Move every doubt. Move every fear. Move all of those things that will separate us and keep us from walking in your complete victory. Fill us with your power. Keep us with your might. God, cleanse us with your blood and help us to walk on in Jesus' name. And all the church of God said amen, amen, and amen. Now, come on, give him praise up in here. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll welcome you. It is no secret what God can do. Come on, you know the verse. It is no secret what God can do. What is done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, with arms wide open, he'll welcome you. It is no secret what God can. God bless you. May heaven smile upon you. Go and give the invitation. There may be one. Maybe you're online and you're saying, Pastor, I felt that message. I want God to help me to be a winner. I've been losing a lot of battles. I want God to help me to be a winner. You can write to us, pastor@crossroadbc.com. Maybe you've said to yourself, hey, you know, I want to be on the winning team. Y'all got something going on at Crossroad. That's your desire. We welcome you. We welcome you. Amen. There be others.